Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everyone, and welcome to Open Rebellion Radio with myself, Danielle Pichette-Graham from Orange County, New York, and my wonderful co-host is...
Dina Leibniz from Los Angeles, California, and
We've got both sides on the coast tonight, and a very special guest, which Dina's going to introduce.
Okay, his name is Jay McKinney. And he is an activist of sorts, and he was trying to get together a fast and a prayer day for people to just come together, turn to God, and to sort of try to get our nation back on the right footing. And so he had one a few weeks ago. He's thinking about doing another one, and we feel it's important to turn to God during these times of struggle and to help us get back to the nation that we once were. So he's going to tell us all about what he's doing, why he feels prayer and fasting can really help us in this time, and just sort of tell us more about him and his life and what he's doing. So that is Jay.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Welcome. Welcome to the show. We're honored to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Well, to answer a couple of questions, I'll respond to a couple of the topics. One of the reasons why a fast is very important is because in the Old Testament, various kings requested a fast from the people that was in his kingdom, because of either there was a great enemy that was coming against them, or they were about to be ambushed by something or other, or because of a plague that was plaguing the nation, or anything of that magnitude. And in today's vernacular, we're having the same issues. We're having people being divided racially. We're having one of the most important presidential election in history, and that cannot be said enough. We are about to somebody's going to be a president of the United States, and with that being the president, they're going to be able to pick Supreme Court justices that's going to dictate to the United States citizens of how we're going to be able to live for the next 20 to 30 years. So one of the things that I've prayed about, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit brought to me, was to enact a fast. And we just got through going over a fast, and over 80 people participated all across the United States. And we're thinking about doing another fast, and I'm going to talk to other people about getting the fast and when would be a good time to fast. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is doing a fast right before the election, a week before the election. And and I will give more details about that as the time goes on.
Okay, and what normally goes into a fast? Like how long? Is it a complete fast, just water? Can you just give it a little more details about it?
Yes, ma'am. One of the things about a fast, we know about the fast that Jesus did of no food for 40 days and 40 nights. We understand that one. But there are different fasts that's in the Old Testament that are allotted to Christians to do as well. One of the fasts is what is called a Hebrew fast, where the Hebrew fast was they fasted off of meats, off of certain types of I think it was bread or things of that nature. And there are also caffeine and sweets fast as well, which means that for a given period of time, you know, you fast off of, you know, candy, sugar, and caffeine at that particular time as well. And as far as the length of the fast can be, you know, agreed upon to be 7 days, 10 days, 3 days if necessary, or you can even have a fast from like from 12 o'clock p.m. to 12 o'clock a.m. You know, during a set amount of time that way as well.
Mhm. Got it.
And what did you fast from then?
The last fast that we did, which was last week, we did it from Monday morning at midnight to Sunday night at 11:59 p.m., which was 7 days. And we fasted then from majority of the people fasted from meat. But because of their health restrictions or dietary restrictions, they couldn't do meat, so they did other things as well. The whole point of the fast, denying your body of certain things that you're so used to sacrifice that to show you what you need to have more in tune with Christ on, instead of having that particular thing, you put aside that thing so that you can be more in tune with what Christ is trying to say to you.
Okay. Now, as a Mormon, I understand fasting a little bit because every month we have a fast Sunday. And so What we do is we give up two meals. So we give up breakfast and lunch usually. And we take that money that we would have spent on breakfast and lunch and we give it to the church and they use it for different humanitarian reasons. So that money doesn't go to help build temples or whatever. It helps to go help the members in a church or people out of the church. And so we do that once a month on a regular basis. So are you thinking of maybe doing something like that, a way to sort of raise funds for whatever particular cause you may think will be helpful or whatever, and then use that money for that?
Well, yes and no. The monetary reason is a good one. Well, some of the reasons why the fast was is needed from a Christian perspective is because, you know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people would turn from their wicked ways, repent, and fast and pray, then would I hear from heaven, then would I heal your land. You know, so the fast is to be enacted so that we can show each other how we need to repent from the things that we have just ignored that's been going by the wayside. You know, some of the bigger sins like homosexuality, idolatry, anything of that nature is those big sins that we're looking at, but we're not looking at adultery, we're not looking at lying, we're not looking at, you know, not doing good things as sin as well, and that's what God wants us to see, that hey, it's not just the big sins that you need to be turning from, but you need to be turning away from those little sins as well. So that's some of the things that God is showing us as Christians that we need to say. Look, let me back up a little bit. One of the things that's wrong with America, it's not the pagans. It's not the pagans. It's Christians that's not stepping up. You know, that the one reason why we're in the situation that we're in right now, same-sex marriage, we're abortion on demand. You know, one reason why we're in this situation right now is because Christians are not speaking out the way that we're supposed to. You know, we think it was wrong for Kim Davis not to sign those licenses and went to jail and stuff. Some people said, hey, she should have just signed them and just done away with it. That's not the correct attitude that a Christian needs to have. A Christian needs to know, look, regardless of what may happen to me, I have to stand for what's right, which is Jesus Christ is first and foremost in my life. So that's what the fast is for. The fast is to show us what we need to turn away from to turn back to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we have come to a point. Fear has grown so big and so dominant that we no longer have faith in Christ. I mean,
I don't even know if it's that we no longer have faith. I think it's more of the fear of the repercussions.
You're absolutely right about that.
I think it's become almost, when we talk a lot about politically correct, the political correctness, right? It's not politically correct anymore to be a Christian.
That's one of the things that that I've been doing a lot of study on. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." One of the things that I want to illustrate to others and display to others is that, you know, that fear that people are having as far as like being politically correct and stuff like that, that is not from God. And if it's not from God, the Christians need to turn away from that and do exactly what God says, and then we're going to have exactly what God says. You know, we've got to a point of where we're trying to do things on our own instead of doing what God has told us to do. And because of that, we are in a position of being fearful of losing things instead of gaining things that God said he was going to give us.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I am not super Christian over here. You know, I have plenty of sins I need to account for on a daily basis. But the one thing I do have is I know God exists. I know he's real. And so I don't have to sort of like, well, maybe he won't do this for me. Well, yes, he will, because he's made that promise. And so if I keep my promise, he has to keep his promise. You know, so as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then God is going to do what he's going to do. And I know, because I've felt him in my life, and I've experienced him. And so I don't have the doubt that a lot of other people do. And I think that's why I get so upset, is because I'm not being fair. Other people haven't had those experiences. They don't know without a doubt in their heart. And I do. I've been there. I've experienced it. So it's easy for me to say that, because I know.
Right.
You know, it's no longer a matter of faith for me. It's just knowing now, you know, and I can't hold people to my knowledge. That's kind of not fair, but that's where my anger and stuff kind of comes from, is holding people to what I know and not what they know.
Do you know, the biggest problem is this. You know, it's the age-old problem that the devil has been manipulating since he did that with Eve. He always asked the question, "Hath God said?" That's what the devil asked. And then when he asked that question, and people take it into their heart, they start doubting God. Then and you know what the thing of it is? There's nothing wrong with doubt. The fact of the matter is that we all doubt. We all doubt. You know, I doubt myself. You know, there's things that I doubt. But the fact of the matter is that I come to God. I go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, I'm doubting this." God want us to talk to him. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together." What God is saying is that we need to come to him so that we can talk to him whenever we have these doubts. God knows that we have these doubts, but we have to talk to him and let him know that we have these doubts.
Yeah. And I do have doubts. That's right. I probably should have put it that way. I don't have doubts about him. I have doubts whether what I should do, or, you know, they come from other places, but I don't have doubts about God. You know.
Well, see, that goes back to the original topic, and that is why are we fasting? The fast is right there for us to be able to remove those doubts of what we need to do. You know, because one of the things that the Bible is so clear about is that everybody knows that there is a God, regardless whether they want to admit that or not. They know that there is a God.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
But the fact of the matter is what do we do with that knowledge of God? That's where we have to come to God and say, hey, look, Lord, I don't know what I need to do. I've had to do that many a times in my life. And one of the reasons why the fast is so important is God will clear those areas of what we need to do as far as what he wants us to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I actually wrote some of that down. I think it's, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm a work in progress. This is Danielle, by the way.
We all are.
I'm totally a work in progress.
Are.
And I know that. I'm like more so. But what I've known, and I'll just kind of, I want to say this quickly because I don't want to take time away from you, but he's been working on me for a really long time. When I'm actually honest and I sit back and I look at the little things that have happened in my life, I know he's been working on me. I don't know if it's that I'm not open. I don't know if it's because of fear. I don't know if it's because I just even know, I don't know what the first step is sometimes, but he's constantly there. For example, when my now husband and I first started dating, the first time he came to, we were 2.5 hours apart. We grew up together, and we wound up, reconnecting after many, many, many years all of our neighborhood friends got together. And the first time he came to visit me, because I was all the way up in Saugerties, he was still down in Queens. The first Sunday that was, he and I hadn't been to church in forever. And he was like, do you have a Catholic church nearby? And I'm like, I have no idea. And so it was just like this epiphany, like, oh, my God, now I'm literally driving him all around Saugerties trying to find a church. We wound up finding it, and the mass had just ended. It was just this crazy. And in that whole time, like, am I doing the right thing? This is kind of crazy. This is weird, you know, that thing. We wound up, of course, falling in love, and we blended our families and all this wonderful stuff. But when we moved, when we decided to move in together, I unpacked a box that had been sitting in the apartment that I had been in as a single mom for 3 years. I had been in that location, and it was this one box out of all the boxes that I hadn't opened up. This was the one box I hadn't opened up, and when I opened it up when we got here, it was filled with books like Conversations with God. It was filled with books I'm just getting chills. All these books, and these were books that it was because I heard somebody talk about it. Seed of the Soul was another one. Marianne Williamson's Book of Prayers. Like all these really, I literally have chills from head to toe. As I'm opening this box, that's what it was filled with. It was all these signs like, holy moly, he's been working on you all this time, and I could pinpoint when those books came into my life. Do you know?
Right.
So, but I still resist. I still resist. So here's my question.
We all do. At one point in time, we all do. You know, one of the things that I've learned over my 49 years of living that there's nothing that happens by coincidence. Everything is order.
No.
God is the God of order. God is the God of order. Mm-hmm. We may not understand what he's doing right now, but the fact of the matter is that he is doing something right now. That is a given right there. I'm a very logical person, and one of the things that I've learned over living is that everything has a particular place and everything has a particular order in doing it. If there's no order in it, God is not in that. That's the reason why, you know, I am so – I talk bad about certain groups that cause chaos and things of that nature because God is not in chaos. You know, when we talk about justice, God is the author of justice, not social justice or all this other mess that's going on in the world. God is the when he says you shall reap what you sow, he means exactly that. We shall reap what we sow. So that's the reason why we need to fast to find out exactly what God is telling Christians to do in order for us to turn from our wicked ways. You know, that verse that I just read about 2 Chronicles 7:14, that verse right here, God is talking to his children. When he say if my people turn from their wicked ways, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to his Christians about the wicked things that they're doing so that they will turn from their wicked ways in order to get God to heal their land. And that's a promise right there. If we do what God says do, then he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been through the whole spectrum When I was 14, my father died. He was killed by a drunk driver. And that just sort of set me on a spiral. And I was almost mad at God. You took my dad. How dare you take my dad?
we have more in common than you actually know. My dad died when I was 4 years old. My dad died
when
I was five years old. And I stayed angry at God all the way up until I was like about, even after I got into the military, which was like around 2021, I stayed mad at God. And I didn't realize how mad I was at God until God asked me one day, why are you mad at me? You know, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of the things is that when we ask God questions, we have to be prepared for the answers that he's going to give us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, I was so mad, and I called myself an atheist. And I don't believe in God. Really? Then why are you so angry with this guy you don't believe in, like you said?
Right.
Right. So that's what I called myself. I was an atheist. But before that, I went through Satanism. I went through Wicca. I went through all that stuff because I was trying to, one, punish him, and, two, trying to find a place where I could take that anger and it would be okay and it would be justified and all that. So I went through all that. So, you know, I kind of understand Satan on his level because I studied him for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so he can't play me. You know, he can't do this stuff against me because I know you. I read you, dude. I got you down.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I just want to say, it's funny, you were talking about no coincidences, and, you know, here we are on this phone call, and you guys are talking about your dad's passing. I lost my dad when I was 5 years old, like 3 days before my fifth birthday. So I get that. And then I lost my mom when I was 22, and I was not able to face the world on my own. At least, I'm sure I was. I didn't feel like I was, and I went on a kind of a destructive path for quite some time. And it wasn't that I was even angry at God, I ignored him.
Yes.
That's what I did.
Yes.
And it was during that time where all those books wound up in that box.
Oh, okay.
But as you thought that you were doing away with those books, as you thought you were doing away with those books, God was saying, I got another purpose for those books.
Exactly. And I think and you know what? It took him bringing my husband into my life as well. My husband was straight out of Curcio. Have you ever heard of a Curcio?
I've heard of that before, yes.
It's a retreat. Oh my God. We'll have to get you connected to somebody who might be able to get you on one. It's they say that it's the best kept secret in the Catholic Church. However, it doesn't mean that you have to be a Catholic. It's for any denomination. It's really about it's about connecting and building the most amazing relationship with Jesus. That's what it is. I mean, that's the best, most simplistic way of explaining it. And my husband was straight out of that, 2 months out of that when he and I, reconnected. It completely transformed his life. And because I had been, like I said, I've been not quite, at that point I hadn't quite been ignoring God, but pretty much. I was just like, I acknowledge, you're there, thank you, it's nice to know, I'm glad you're there. But that's it. Mm. And then my husband came into my life. And then we wound up, in a very short period of time, we got engaged, we got married, and while we were planning our wedding, we found out we were pregnant with our son, who, I won't say the long, long version, but I want to give you a quick synopsis. Dina knows most of the story, but he was born with a very rare and very serious congenital heart defect, requiring a minimum of 3 open heart surgeries just to survive. Made my husband question his faith. And, of course, going back to Curcio, he's an angel on the Curcios in order to keep him in that place. But when we went for a second opinion, we were confirmed the diagnosis. But this is where I tell people, if I hadn't had any faith at all before my son, I have one for sure. I have it for sure now. He was diagnosed with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. Long story short, he was going to be born with only half a heart.
Right.
So they have to reroute things. the other thing that he was diagnosed with, which I don't talk about as much as often as I probably should, is an intact atrial septum. What that means is there's a little hole in the membrane between the top atriums of the heart. While the babies are growing inside, that hole needs to be there to get blood to the lungs in order to so you have strong,
right,
healthy lungs when you're born. His was,
right,
was closed up, so he wasn't getting the blood flow. And if he was born with sick lungs, his chances, which weren't great to begin with, would have been slim to none. He would not be here today. But when they saw that, they also saw what they called a decompressing channel or a vein that was coming out of the top of the left atrium, the little left atrium that he had, which was getting blood to the lungs. And when they said that, we got excited. And they said, wait a second, don't get excited. We've seen babies try to compensate all the time for their defects. They never work. Well, every month when I had to go for a fetal echo, they went to check that thing. And every month that thing got bigger and stronger and continued to pump blood to that kid's lungs so that he was born with healthy, mm-hmm, strong lungs. Had that, and we called it his miracle
Praise
vein.
God.
We then nicknamed it his miracle vein. And when we went to see the neonatologist who gave us a tour of the NICU before he was born, and he went through his chart, and he got to that part of my son's story, he patted his folder, and he looked at us and said, I've been here 25 years, and I have never seen anything like this.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
God touched him when he was still in utero. He touched that kid's heart. We prayed for him. We had thousands of people praying for him, and he answered his prayers. So nobody could ever tell me that God does not exist.
Yeah.
And I know that we all can give different stories of the existence of God. And you know, there's no way that anybody can say, okay, well, there's no physical aspect of God, but God reaches out to people in a spiritual manner. You know, we all think that, you know, just because we're in his body and stuff, and that's all there is to it. No, you have a spirit that's going to live eternity. That's what God is trying to communicate with. You know, when we deny ourselves certain things as far as like sacrificing meat or caffeine or sugar or something like that as the way of a fast, we're telling God, look, these things are not important to us. What's important is our communication and our fellowship with you. That's the reason why, you know, certain fasts were enacted in the Old Testament. You know, and that's the reason why God calls us to fast at certain times. You know, this is the first fast I've done in over 2 years, but it was one of the things that I enjoy immensely because I've had a chance to talk to certain people on Facebook that wanted to pray, you know, as far as like a group or individually about certain things, and that's the reason why I want to do it again, because I know that because of that, there's a lot of hurting people out there. You turn on the news, you'll see how many hurting people are out there, and these hurting people are not saying, hey, look at me. What they're saying is, look, I'm hurt. I need somebody to help me. We're not helping these people out. That's the reason why you have so many people that's in these groups like Black Lives Matter, KKK, and all these other groups, because they're looking for someone that's going to say, hey, look, I understand you're hurting. God is the person that you need to talk to. That's all they need.
Amen.
They need to know that they matter to someone. That's what they need to know. And until they meet Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, they're going to keep on doing the same things that they're doing.
It's so funny because we were talking about that the other day, we were talking about why people join gangs. And we were saying it's because they feel like they have nothing else. You know, they have nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn to. But if you have Christ, as Christ center of your life, and you have him and you know him, and it's funny because even when I was mad at God, me and Jesus were cool. He's seen us all. I love Jesus. So we never had a problem. So if you have him as your center and you're just he guides you, then you won't feel the need to join a gang or join any of those sort of, like, if you're in like Palestine, then you join Hamas or whatever. You won't feel that need. Because you have something stronger pulling you. And so I just know that without a doubt. I know that with everything. Because when I was at Malos, and I had cancer when I was 22, And I was like, why do I have to go through this? You know, I was strong for, like, the first few months. And then I just had that moment where I sort of broke down. I went to the bathroom. And that's where all my epiphanies happened, in the bathroom. I don't know what that is.
I had one of those moments, too.
I'm in the bathroom. I started crying, and someone is hugging me, and no one's there. And I knew that was God. I knew he was like, girl, it's okay. I'm going to take care of everything. Just cry it all out. It's all good. You know?
Wow.
And I was okay after that. And so now you can't tell me God isn't real, because I have that. And I felt that.
Yeah.
And I know that's real. So that's
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's why I have that definite feeling, is because he came. You know? He was there. So.
You know that in the book of Psalms, it says it pretty evidently. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, I'm very careful about calling people names, but when the Bible describes and defines what a fool is, I have no other choice but to say what the Bible says. You know, the Bible defines a fool as someone that knows the truth but decides to do something other than the truth. And when a person know that God exists and choose not to acknowledge and recognize that God exists, then the Bible calls that person a fool. And I've run across people that say, well, you know, I have no need of God in my life. And then I ask them, I say, okay, who put that next heartbeat in your heart? Or better yet, who's giving you that breath, that air to breathe? You don't want to believe in God, but you don't see how much you need God in your life. You know, to be honest, Christians live like there's no God either. And what I mean by that is that we do things that we don't even know the repercussions of. We'll say, okay, well, I'll tell this lie, but I know that I'll deal with it later on. No, God says you're going to have to deal with it right now, you know, or whatever the sin is. And I just pick online because we consider that a small sin. God considers sin a sin.
That's
you know,
what
so therefore, when we do something wrong, we think it's small. God said, "You don't know the aspect of what you just did. You don't know the permutations of what you just did." You know, so therefore, when we do something wrong, God says, "Count the cost." You know, so that again, getting back to the fast, that's the reason why we need to understand that we need to turn back to God. Turn from our wicked ways. We need to repent. And, you know, the word repent is very, very special. What the word repent means is that we're going to have to not just turn from it, but run from the direction that we was just in. So, therefore, when we see something that we're doing wrong, we need to just say, Lord, I'm sorry for doing that, and then go the other direction instead of continue in that same direction that we were going in. That's what repent means.
Wow. With that, I'm going to hold the thought. We're going to continue this. We're just going to do a quick break, and then we will be right back, folks.
Okay.
So, you're still using the hotel website with the gentleman that played Captain Kirk and Denny Crane, or the goon with a beard in the strange uniform, or the talking lawn gnome to book hotels, car rentals, bed and breakfasts, or cruises. Are you kidding me? Let me let you in on something. You're not really saving money with those. Those are the new retail. Why pay retail when you can book your travel accommodations and pay wholesale? In fact, up to 75% off of standard pricing. Snazzy Traveler is the travel equivalent of the big box wholesale members clubs. But you don't have to go and look for a parking space and wait in line to check out. You can save hundreds, even thousands of dollars on travel. And best of all, it's like having the services of concierge for just 27 cents a day. I'm serious. Snazzy Traveler has all the hotels and B&Bs you're looking for and more besides. They have all the top car rental companies and cruise ships and tours. But if you want to save big money and get great service, there's only one way you can get the deals I'm talking about. Go to our website, madisonscpc.com, madisonscpc.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the Snazzy Traveler banner ad and get signed up. You'll soon discover why Inc. 500 rates Snazzy Traveler America's fastest growing travel website. Be smart. Be snazzy. Don't pay retail. Snazzy Traveler.
This is Dina Leichnitz from Madison CPC Open Rebellion Radio, and we invite you, our listeners, to audition for our Halloween Bash. We are looking for musicians and comedians to appear on our October 27th show. While we want you to bring down the house, we ask that you don't bring up profanity, since we are a Christian station. If you are interested, send your demo and comic stylings to Dina Leichnitz, that is DenaLeichnitz, at MadisonCPC.com, and prepare to have a monster of a blowout.
And welcome back, everyone. And we are here again with Jay McKinney and my wonderful host, Dina, from the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast, and we've been talking about fasting. We've also been talking about a lot of other things, but it kind of surrounds that particular topic. So, Jay, when do you plan on having this fast, or have you not decided yet? I know a week before. Do you plan on sending out? How are you advertising it, or how are you spreading the word? Because we'd like to help you to do that.
Yes, I'm spreading the word off of Facebook. My Facebook address is facebook.com, Jay McKinney, JayMcCaney. You can go there and either friend me or follow me. It doesn't matter. And I normally broadcast it there when I'm going to do the fast. Like I said, we just came off of a fast last week. And I'm looking at doing it probably the first week of November. We have the elections November 8th, so I want to probably do it that first week of November, which is going to be Tuesday to which is November 1st to Monday, which is I'm looking at my calendar now. It's going to be Monday the 31st. Monday the 7th. I'm sorry. It's going to be Tuesday the 1st to Monday the 7th.
Got it. Now, do you, in between, is it just a fast, and do you connect via a conference call? Do you pray together? Is there any other aspect of it, or is it just, everyone kind of does their fasting, and that's it?
Well, I have a fasting group chat going on from off my Facebook page, and that's how we've been communicating together.
Okay. Have you thought about doing like a conference call kind of prayer, or do you lead prayers? Do you do that, or are you open to it?
Yes and yes.
I'm just kind of talking out loud at this point.
Yes, we. When I say we, I mean individually, we all need
yep.
prayer. And,
especially
when we...
Some people need the guidance.
Yes. And see, whenever we enact to do something that's going to be spirit-led and faith-based, we're going to need prayer, because I'm under the belief that whenever we do something like that, the devil's going to come in and try to attack that regardless of how you feel about it. You know, because he doesn't want anyone to get that much closer to God. He doesn't want that fellowship to be that strong, that much stronger with God. One of the things that I've prayed about is that during the fast, that we will be able to see where the devil is trying to attack us in those particular areas, because he's going to do it, and that's a given. That's just like saying 2 + 2 = 4.
Oh, absolutely.
You know 2 + 2 = 4 mm-hmm. because that's a fact. When you do something that's led by God, you're going to be attacked by the devil. That's a fact. That's been all throughout the Bible, where you see that when men were trying to do things for God, men and women, when they were trying to do things for God, the devil always tried to come in and steal, kill, and destroy that. So that's one of the things that we always going to need is prayer.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because you say that. We talk about it all the time. When we started Madison CPC as a conservative Christian voice,
right.
You know, in order to spread that and make a difference, not just in this election, but ongoing in our country,
right.
We found our writers getting sick. And constantly, like, you know, and down, like one of our best writers, and Jonah was continuing to say prayers for you, has been down and out with a lupus flare-up for 2 months now, where she's usually able to get it under control by now but hasn't been able to. Another one of our writers, Marcus, has to undergo surgery. So it's like a constant barrage of attacks. And that's exactly what we've been saying, is it's absolutely the devil trying
right.
to stop us from doing what we're doing.
Well, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I deal with facts, like I said before. But you can see even in our government how the government is trying to shut down anything that has to do with Christianity. And the reason why the government, you know, a lot of people say that there's a war on religion. There's no war on religion. There's a war on Christianity. You know,
absolutely.
You can be any other type of religion, and the government's going to look the other way. But as soon as you start talking about Jesus Christ, that's when they're going to try to shut you down. You know, when back in 1963, when they took prayer out of school, those people, they didn't mind whether or not if you were praying to whatever other God. They wanted to take out Christian prayer out of the school. Today, in school today, you can do any type of research that you want to do in high school. But as soon as you try to do a research on the Holy Bible, what they're going to do is always shut that down. You're going to get gigged for it. I got a friend right now that has to go to his daughter's high school and ask them why they want him to do a report on a lesbian couple instead of doing it on Jesus Christ himself. I mean, those are the type of things that people are having to deal with on a daily basis. Another case in point, the president has just dictated before school started that he wanted women and men to use the same bathrooms in public schools. I mean, if that's not a spiritual attack, I don't know what is.
No, yeah, there isn't. And it's my daughter's middle school. They have one what somebody considers themselves a transsexual, and they had built or created a separate bathroom, but they're now allowing him to use the girls' room. And my daughter told me, and a bunch of the parents called. They didn't pick up the phone and left messages, and they still have not called us back. And it's absurd, honestly, at this point. And my son's high school, they have – do you realize this is – I don't know how much you really – when you have teenage kids, you learn things that you just don't want to learn sometimes. But they consider that there's over 50 different – at least what the society considers genders. There's not just man and female. There's like 50. And so
That's a direct assault against God, because in Genesis, God said that he made female, he made male and female, he made he and she. He didn't make all these other genders. That's what the government want the children to swallow, that, you know, what the Bible said is not true. It goes back to the first lie that the devil told. He said, "Hath God really said?" I mean, that it goes right back to it, and it's an attack on Christians, because what the government is trying to do is shut down Christianity, and it's been doing that ever since dawn of time. To be honest with you.
A young girl. I think she's back east somewhere. She wanted to start a pro-life club in her high school, and they were like, "No, it's too religious." Really?
Yeah.
Because she wasn't even trying to bring up religion within the pro-life clubs, but it's too religious, you know? And it's getting so far out of hand, you know?
Everything, no, it's not. It's so far out of hand.
It's religious, you know?
There's a couple of kids in my son's high school that go back and forth. Like they one day they dress up as a boy, the next day they dress up as a girl, the next day they dress up as a girl. It's usually weekly, but sometimes daily. So you're telling me now that you're opening up bathrooms now, you know, they have this whole argument that they can't help how they, that they were born in the wrong body. Well, then please explain to me these ones that go that flip flop back and forth. So this boy that thinks that he's a girl one day is now sharing the bathroom with my daughter, and then the next day he's still then a man. How do I know when those male urges are going to be, you know, kicking in? That's my thing. It's about fear and privacy, if nothing else, as well as, of course, the attack on Christianity. But that's where, it's so illogical. And, yes, Dina, it has gotten so far out of hand. It's almost like you see it slipping away and you're grasping at it and trying to make some sense of it, and you can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my mom. That's the mom.
You know, I tell my mom all the time. I say, I understand what you went through when I was in high school, because I gave you heck when I was in high school, and my son gave me heck when he was in high school. So I totally understand that. But it goes back to what the government and it's not really the government. Government is just a means to an end. But the whole problem is that the enemy, which is Satan, is trying to attack the church, trying to attack Christianity individually, so that he can get that much more of a stronghold in our lives. And again, that's the reason why we need to have the fast, so that we can see, okay, that's a stronghold I need to let go and let God deal with, so that I can get more attentive to what God is trying to tell me to do.
And it's just like, I know why I'm here. Like, I have been told specifically, I am here to restore the family, which is a big thing. I sure don't know what that means yet, but it's coming to me. But it made sense once I knew, so that's why I was adopted. Oh, so that's why my parents got divorced. Oh, and I would go up my life, I was like, that's why everything happened, because I needed to see the broken home to understand what broken homes looked like so I could help restore it. it's having that sort of faith and knowledge, and then just going, because God is the one who told me that. So if you listen to God, he will tell you, and you will then be able to put that into effect into your life, and that's what I'm trying to do bit by bit, trying to figure it out, So.
And in the book of James, actually in the first chapter, it tells us that, if we ask God things, he's just not going to turn us away. He said, ask of him, and he's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And I think that's where all of our problems are, is that we think that we can just go about things, doing things our own way, and then say, okay, well, we'll figure it out later on. I'm speaking from experience, because I know I've done that in my life. I think that, some of the times when I get so full of myself, I say, well, I could do this on my own. I don't need God. And then God say, okay, I'm going to show you that you need me. so that's what happens in our lives.
Yes. Yep. It's so true. So we at Open Rebellion Radio and Madison CPC is to help you, and honestly, it winds up helping us as well, is to help to spread the word about the fast. So once you do know the details, if you would let us know, if you would reach out to us, because we can write a quick article about it, and we can start to spread the article with whatever links that people can connect to, that kind of thing. So, as much as I think that, the more, I think there's power in numbers. So I think that, you said that the last one had 80, let's make a goal to, I'm throwing it out there, let's say double that and or more, and let's see what we can create from that. I don't remember, the last time I did a fast was many, many, many years ago, and it was for health reasons, it wasn't for a Christian reason. So, as long as I can, I will refrain from, certain things. I am still nursing my little one, so I can't refrain from food altogether, but I will definitely refrain from certain things that that won't challenge that, but as well, but will be a sacrifice.
I will be honored to you know, to give you guys the details of anything that comes out of the of what we want to do as far as the fast. But I am still looking at it being the first week of November. it's not going to be that Monday, which is the 31st, which is Halloween. And I understand, you know, a lot of people have a lot, you know, go get food from different places and things like that. So that's the reason why I would like to do it the day after Halloween. And also do it right before the presidential election. Because, again, there's a spiritual battle that's going on here. And we as Americans need to understand that this is not something that we can just lay aside. You know, I hear a lot of Christians say that they're not going to vote this year. And one of the things that I know that God has blessed us with in this nation is the voice of being able to say, okay, I don't agree with this, so let me vote that out. That's what God has given us in this nation. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that we're so close to getting that taken away from us. So we need to understand that we as American citizens need to go to the voting booth and do what God has instructed us to do, which is voice our opinions.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think that that a
voting
big focus.
To see that running, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to vote. I'm still going to have my voice in there because I feel that's important.
Right.
And the way I see it is California is going to, you know, the Democrats anyway. So it doesn't matter that I don't vote for the other guy because it's going to her. That's just it. And so I'm going to vote for my conscience, and I'm going to vote for who I think, if God was in there, who would he vote for?
Right.
You know, I think that there's a lot of, there's a huge crosswords and a crossword, you know what I'm saying. Not just between Republican, Democrat, but I think, I think even within the Republican Party itself, I wrote an article about that. So I think that now more than ever, because there's not a lot of trust with either candidate, and I'm not going to get into support who I don't, but I think that what's most important right now for everyone is to get into that voting booth and vote down ticket. And vote for the people that you truly believe that are going to fight for our freedoms, for our Constitution, for our rights, for our liberties. That's one of the things that I'm doing on the side is helping a group of people to vet candidates that will be doing just that in every state across the country.
Same here. One of the things I've talked to a lot of people about, and because they ask me to, who am I going to vote for? And one of the things I tell them, I tell you who I'm not going to vote for. You know, I tell them that I'm not going to vote for a political party, and I'm not going to even mention the other two political parties. But what I'm going to do is tell people to do their research. But I'm not going to vote for a political party that has already stated that they do five times as many abortions on one race than they do on another race. I'm not going to vote for a political party that has already mentioned how many slanderous names to these minorities, and calling other people, calling the other party racist. I'm not going to vote for a political party that has so much corruption in it, has been corrupted for the last 50 years, and continually be corrupted. And I'll leave it just like that. And you know what? I don't even have to mention the names for people to understand which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree. So we have a few more minutes, but this might be a little bit off topic, but I think that where we began this conversation, and this is more of an inquiry, a question. It's almost for like a personal, you know, help, because I know this is something that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with, based on what I'm seeing being talked about. Because we started this whole conversation about questioning, right? Things happen, you know, questioning our faith. It started with that, especially when really crazy things happen. So I don't know if you heard the story just that happened in the last, maybe 36 to 48 hours with a young baby, a child, a nine-month-old
yes.
little girl who lost her life to a man who ravaged her poor little body. And
yes.
then she died from her injuries. Even I personally, because when you guys were it was you and Dina that were talking about it earlier in the conversation, and it was funny because I was having this conversation with my husband this morning when I was talking
mm-hmm.
to him about it. He hadn't heard about it, and I told him, I said, honey, this is the times when I question everything, like everything.
Right.
Tell me why we live in a world when this kind of thing happens to a nine-month-old innocent baby, and I lost it. I became, and I hadn't. I read it, and I was, and I couldn't believe what I was reading, and I was posting about her and things like that. But it was in that moment, with that question, with my husband, in this intimate moment, that I cried for that little girl.
Right, right.
I cried for her today. I wept for her. So that's when people start to question. Well, why wasn't God there with her? What would you say to people like that? Because I'm one of them.
One
Not
of
that I don't
that,
question God. I don't question God, but it's when I question things. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And you know what? Again, God do not mind questions like that. One of the things that we have to understand is that when Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God in the Garden of Eden, there were serious repercussions that no one could see that was coming down the pike. And one of those repercussions is that we live in a fallen world. Because we have a sin nature, that's the reason why Jesus Christ had to die for us in order for us to for him to redeem us. Now, that doesn't mean that we automatically put away the flesh, because we still live in the flesh. We have to deny that flesh daily. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand the reason why bad things happen to good people. Okay, and true, that little child was as innocent as can be. But the fact of the matter is that we live in a cursed world. And the devil himself is the one that commands these people that do not know Jesus Christ to do the little stupid things that you see people do. But justice is going to prevail. Not this world social justice that we're so used to. Whoever
right.
did that, one of the things that Jesus said is that it's better to tie a 500-pound weight about your neck instead of harming an innocent child. That's what Jesus Christ himself said. Now, I would have to think that when Jesus sees things like that, what that coward did to that little baby, what that coward is going through right now as far as going to jail and probably get punished in jail and all this other stuff, it's not going to be anywhere compared to what he's going to suffer when he go to an eternity of pain and suffering, which is hell. That's the reason why one of the things that I try to talk to people about is, where is your heart? You know, one of the things that Martin Luther King said to a lot of people is that he said that it's better to be judged by the contents of your character instead of the color of your skin. Now, I truly understand that, because when a person look at me, I don't want them to look at me as a black man. I want them to look at me and say, oh, he's a nice young man. That's what I want people to look at me as. You know, and when people get to a point of where when people get to a point of where they're judging a person by the color of their skin, then they just threw away everything else that the Bible has talked about. They threw away everything else that true civil rights leaders talked about.
Right.
And again, when we get back to the point of saying, okay, this is right, this is wrong, that's how we can live in harmony with other people.
Gosh,
yeah,
you could
usually like Martin Luther King. That's a such a horrible tragedy to have. To go under, and it's like I can't even imagine what that's like for that mother, and you know, for all those people who cared about that little baby. And it, you know, he's right. We have free will, and that's what
exactly.
messes us up every time. Is that no matter, we want to do that because we have that goodness in our heart, but the free will also gives people the ability to make those kind of just mind-numbing, awful decisions that then affect
exactly.
everybody else. And as much as God would like to just be like, no, you can't do that, free will, You know,
right.
We can only interfere if we allow him, if we say, God, I am in so much trouble, I need your help, can you come to me?
Right.
Then he can say, okay, let's do this, that, and the other. Until a person does that, he can't interfere, and I'm sure he's just as horrified as anybody else. You know, probably even more
yes.
so. You know?
You know, God's heart hurts because of what we've done. And again, I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about his children, what his children has just ignored throughout the ages. That's the reason why we're living in a world where you know, Christianity is just a thing of passé now.
Right. Yeah. It really is.
The only good thing is God plucking that little baby right now. He's got her.
Yeah.
He he's loving her. She's getting everything that she didn't get down here. She is full of so much just joy and just, you know, he has totally got her. And that's the only thing you can take away from this is God's got
Amen.
Her.
Amen.
No more pain for her. No more pain for her.
No more.
her.
God mercy. But, Jay, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to ask you, and you don't have to say yes, but I want to ask you, we always end our show with a prayer. And we have one that's recorded. It's kind of a robotic voice, and it drives me nuts. But I need to get it written down so I could say it, or Dina could say it live and in person. We could always play that. But would you honor us in ending our show with a prayer?
I will be honored. I will be honored. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity, Father, that has went out on the airways, Father, for your word has went out on the airways, Father. And I know, Lord, that there are a lot of hurting people like we discussed earlier, Father. And because there are a lot of hurting people out there, Father, someone heard your word this day on the radio and did not do what they wanted to do as far as hurt someone else or even hurt themselves, Father, and I thank you for that right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will bless this radio show, Father, so, Lord, it can reach even more people, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this radio station will be able to reach people, Lord, and let them know about your love, Father, instead of knowing the hurt that's in their pain, that's in their heart right now, Father. And, Lord, as a result, Father, we will give you all honor and all glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jay, and we hope that you will join us again at another point, and we might, you know, discuss fasting again or many other topics as we have this evening. And just keep us posted on the details. Keep us definitely posted
Roger
on the details,
that.
And we will spread the word as far and wide as we possibly can in our little fledgling radio show. And Dina, would you like
really
to close us off with? Thank you so much. And Dina, will you just let our audience know what's in store for our show next week, and then we will close it off.
Okay, so next week we are having, her name is Christina Harley, kind of like Davidson, and she is putting on this production at UCLA, and it deals with Dr. King and, you know, it's sort of civil rights space. And so she has actually been on the BBC radio show, and so we are honored to have her, and so she's going to be on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we're going to have Mary B., because I didn't say her last time, come on our show, and she's going to talk about reading the Bible and those sort of things, and she'll get more into it. But, yeah, it's also going to be more Bible-related Thursday.
Okay.
So that's it.
Yep. So Open Rebellion Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from, I'm going to use my time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, sometimes 8 p.m. depending on our guest load. But please join us next week, and thank you everyone for joining us. And Jay, thank you again, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.